I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and I'm very excited to welcome back to our studios Little Black Books, which these days is mostly just Mark Lindquist. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm always happy to have you back. Mark and I go way back, Duluth music scene. From, you know, back in the 90s and when you were in Gil Junko.
Do you remember any of that?
I do. Yeah, some of it,
yes.
You'll
have to tell me about it sometime.
I remember some good Gil Junko shows and some good Little Black Books shows. And, of course, you had Shaky Ray Records out of your house. So nowadays, you live over in the Brainerd Lakes area, right?
Yep, in Baxter, the Central Lakes area. And hide out in my little basement studio there.
Mm-hmm. So it's always a treat when you come back and do some shows. And you got one tonight.
I like coming back, yeah.
Well, we like having you back.
I kind of consider this my home, Duluth.
Mm-hmm. You've got a show tonight at the Red Herring Lounge, and Jerry Small's playing, and who else is playing?
Blake Thomas.
Oh, that's right, Blake Thomas, that people might know from Take It With You and his solo stuff as well.
Yeah, what is the Take It With You?
It's a radio show that... live radio show that you can hear once a month here on KUMD.
I like it already.
Saturday nights. But a very fun variety show that they do once a month. Well, during the season that they do it. They're on break right now, but they do it through the summer usually. So,
great.
If you ever have a chance to be in Duluth on a Tuesday night, check it out.
You want to be my press agent?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, you could be on it. They always have performers on there. So you've got that show tonight at the Red Herring Lounge. What time does that start?
I go on at 8. I think Jerry Small goes on at 9. And guess what time Blake goes on?
Probably 10.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my guess. I think it goes pretty... I like the new trend of the earlier shows.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, the first band wouldn't go on till probably 10 o'clock. Then everyone would leave at midnight to go catch Last Call across the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So the headliner would be stuck there with the sound guy and two people that didn't have a ride. So I like the early shows now that start at 8 and are done by, I think even tomorrow night, I play up in Virginia at the 218 Tap House, and I think I'm done by 10:30. So this
nice.
Is a new thing for me.
Well, you're a dad now, so you know.
Yeah,
you're,
it's great.
You're probably used to going to bed earlier.
I am.
Okay, so you get the show tonight, show tomorrow night in Virginia, and you have a new EP out. We'll talk about that, but what do you want to... But you also have a new Christmas song, and you always put a Christmas song out every year, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're going to start with here. What are you going to... What are you planning on
playing? I thought I'd start with a song I've been kind of playing around with. It's by the band Big Star. And hopefully around music festival season, I'll be playing with the full band again, and... We've been kind of screwing around with this song, so I thought I'd... Good time to rehearse it, right? No one's listening. Oh, wait a second. I'll try it. It's a song called 13 by Big Star. Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you by the... Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance, and I will take you. Mm-hmm. Won't you tell your dad to get off my back? Tell him what I said about painted black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come inside where it's okay, and I will shake you. Tell me what you're thinking of.
Would you be an outlaw for my love? If it's so, let me know. And if it's no, then I'll just go. But I can't make you.
Very nice. That is Mark Lindquist, otherwise known as Little Black Books, live from Studio A, and a Big Star tune. It was a Big Star band that you was a big influence back in the day. I know you know you love the Replacements.
I kind of discovered them through my influences, mm-hmm. and then as I got older, started to become more of a fan of Big Star than some of my influences. Kind of telling you a story earlier, I put that song on a home demo to try to convince some guys that I'm playing with to maybe play it as a band, slip it between some originals, and Bob Olson, the guitar player, thought that I wrote it, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that I didn't write it, and he kept saying, oh, that's, what's that really good song on the demo, the good one that you wrote? And I said, Buffalo Pit? No, the good one that you wrote. And I kind of went through all the songs in there, and I figured, oh, he doesn't know the Big Star tune. Anyone sees Bob Olson, don't tell him.
Yeah, if he's
just let him think that I'm
let's hope he's not listening.
The next
right, yeah.
Alex Chilton.
Yeah, well, that is really is a great tune. And I can see how it does sound kind of like you. You know what I mean? I can see why you would pick it to do, because it has kind of that a sound. That,
it only has two chords. So
nice.
That helps.
Nice. So speaking of Buffalo Pit, that one was included on the latest EP. I think you did that. Did you do that on one of your previous releases too, though?
No.
Oh, maybe you just played it here. Maybe that
I
was the deal.
I did play it here.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Just that song had been sitting around for a while, and I hadn't recorded it. One of those songs that kind of sit around for a year, and you don't know whether to play it fast or slow or mid-tempo, and I recorded it probably five different ways, and then just got sick of it and let the last version that I recorded stay on the record. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of the last record I made, the Don'ts 5-song EP. I did the whole thing by myself, wrote it, recorded it, played all the instruments, did all the artwork, if you want to call it that, stuffed all the envelopes myself, hand-delivered most of them. I didn't even use the mail service for a lot of that stuff. I would go and drop it in people's mailbox, kind of like guerrilla underground artistic warfare or something. I was going to make a big anti-corporate statement, and then kind of realize that's a really lonely way to make a record. So the next record, I think I'm going to involve some people. And I've met some people in the Central Lakes area, too, that I might be interested in playing with. And then a show I played a little while ago, I met a guy who was part of the Tommy Simpson's tour support named Tim Gray and Rachel Dean. They're from Joshua Tree, California. And I kind of got it in my head that I might ask him to contribute some ideas or something too, because I really enjoyed listening to his set. And then we kept in contact with each other a little bit, and it was funny when they were driving back from Chicago on tour and I was driving back from here, I was listening to his CD and he was listening to my CD, and we had a big laugh over that.
Nice. That's serendipity. Serendipity,
yeah.
Right there.
So if anyone wants to look up Tim Gray out of Joshua Tree, California, he has a beautiful, I think it's another 5-song EP, and he's great. Great kind of new songwriter that I discovered.
Cool.
And voice.
Cool. You mentioned Tommy Stinson. You got the chance to open for him recently.
Yeah. Kind of a dream come true.
Yeah. He was here in town at the Red Herring. Tell me about that. Had you met him before at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to go to the show, but I saw pictures.
There wasn't a lot of people there, but it was a kind of one of my favorite crowds. Anyone who was there, thank you. It was a really passionate music audience. Sometimes it's better to play, especially if you're the opening guy, play in front of 20 really passionate music fans than to play in front of 200 people that are on their phones or trying to order drinks at the bar. And he came on, and boy, it was just a lesson to learn how, you know, one guy and a guitar can just take over a place. So that was really cool. And
yeah,
he was everything you would expect.
He was on the bar.
I saw pictures. He was kind of everything you would expect. Kind of funny and silly and had a couple drinks in him, I think, and was kind of a jerk sometimes and kind of lovable at times. I mean, everything you would think Tommy Stinson would be, he was exactly that. And his new record, which I got to hear a little bit of that night, and then also I think it comes out in January, his new Bash and Pop record is phenomenal. And it's, I think it's been 20 years since he put out a Bash and Pop record, so mm-hmm. pretty excited for that.
Nice. And so you did have a chance to chat with him? And
not much. He was that he and his guitar player, Chippy, and then the middle act, Rachel Deem and Tim Gray, they had seemed like they had been on tour for about 4 months. So I could tell they were tired. They didn't have much to say.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of played their hearts out and then were ready to go back to the hotel. So we chit-chat a little bit, but we didn't have any three-hour late-night games or anything like that. But it was great. Kind of pumped me up to play a bunch more shows here in the winter. And
mm-hmm. Well, and that is great because you've been kind of sporadic with music these last few years, partly because you're a dad and you have twins that your daughters. But they're in school now, and they're you know, so you probably have a little more time.
I'm kind of in between stay-at-home dad gig and some spring basketball coaching right now, so got about 3 months to sort of do as much musically as I can shove into the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done that for a while, so it's kind of that fun, kind of nervous.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the EP and the songs that ended up on it.
Five songs, like I said, I kind of recorded everything myself. And
it's called Don't, which I like, which is also the name of the first song. So.
Yeah, and a song I'm probably going to play for you in a few minutes. But
okay.
Outside of Buffalo Pit, I tried to write it really quick. I tried to be immediate with it. And I'm kind of a creature of revision, so it's hard for me just to do stuff in an immediate sense. I like to revise things about 25 times and do 50 vocal takes before I find the right one, especially since I record myself. I don't have a guy telling me that I'm on the clock or anything. So this one I try to be a little bit more immediate, and maybe that goes towards the rough edge of it. It doesn't sound, you know, slick and glossy, but I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. So
well, and when you were talking about how you put it together and did everything, I was thinking back to the Shaky Ray days. Is that pretty much how it started back then?
I'm not in a basement. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in a basement right now, so I can talk to people. I feel comfortable. The mm-hmm. lights are a little lower.
Uh-huh.
You get me on the top floor, I start to panic and choke a little bit.
But when you were doing that stuff, did it start out as, like, you were doing everything and, you know?
Yeah, and so I had to kind of go and teach myself, you know, one-finger keyboards, like old Cure records, and try to fake drums. You know, I have a huge drum set in my little tiny basement, and half of it's packed away, so I'm playing on maybe a half of a drum set with one 58 microphone hanging above it. But, you know, if you do something earnestly and maybe you have a plan for it, you know, it'll come out. And I learned a lot making this record, maybe more than I got any sort of great reviews or feedback from it. I just learned a lot. I've even made my own video for promotional video for it, my own one page, and doing that stuff, you know, now that I'm older, I can, well, one, I'm a little more sober to do it, but two, take my time a little bit to do it and relearn how to do that stuff that just kind of came naturally to me when I was in my 20s and running wild. So like I said, the next record I'm already having in my head to kind of work with other people I've found along that way.
Nice.
You want to be on a record?
Sure.
Right. Don't cost you nothing.
What you said just reminded me of the one sheet that you put out with it, and it has that quote from Vinny and the Stardusters, who were...
Don't read that on the radio, please.
No, I'm just going to read one thing. And it's the first album that you've recorded sober.
Yeah.
And they are this crazy band from the Twin Cities. And did you make up
funny
that,
thing
did
about
you,
that?
Did you make up Is that there, quote?
They've been sober for 25 years.
Okay.
No one will believe that, or at least a couple of the members are. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of the members, but they're great. They're one of my favorite kind of prankster bands, mm-hmm. and they were into really kind of underground artistic guerrilla warfare. I remember they wrote a manifesto, like a 2,000-word manifesto that the City Pages published, and no one really about rock and roll,
mm-hmm.
and about... Who knows what it was about? It was just kind of ranted like a Unabomber manifesto about music, though. But I was fascinated by those guys long before I met them. And then you'd hear them on Dr. Demento, So I felt really close to him then. If someone wrote like a fake manifesto about music, independent music, and got published in the C Pages and is on Dr. Demento, then I'm a fan.
They're already pretty cool.
And then they called me out of the blue because they were going to single-handedly save the Twins, not my Twins, but the Minnesota Twins, because they were going to move. They were under the threat of moving to a different city. So they wrote a song, and their song was going to save the Twins, and I don't know if it happened, but the Twins are still here in the stadium, and I was part of that show, so
I'd forgotten my little contribution
to baseball.
I'd forgotten, now that you mentioned that, I remember that song, yeah. All right, well, what do you want to play next?
I'll play the first track. Oh, and also, if you want one of these CDs, they're free. That was the other thing about it. I want to make it free, which is why there's not a lot of great artwork on there or anything. Don't have to pay Chris Monroe to do free artwork. But you can just find me on Facebook, Little Black Books, or on Bandcamp. Shoot me your address, and I will send you one for free, within reason. Ready? Cestalosia, the little black books who wrote songs about pirates and crooks, and no one ever came to their shows, and I guess that's the way that rock and roll goes. Duluth always has the finest of bands. They're made from agates and ore and Indian sand, and to the rest of the world they go mostly ignored, and that's fine with me. I never wanted to leave the North Shore. With the girls from these parts who dance and drink, they shoot pool and throw darts. They drop quarters in the jukebox from a punk rock purse. They sing about love like it's some kind of curse. A while ago, I left my place on the grid. I went back to the books that I knew as a kid, to study the planets, the moons and the stars, and relinquish the seat that I held so long behind. Science and reason, fall into winter, that's the law of the season. But when I'm camping at the Black Sand River, I can feel the ghost of the Nokomis here. I'll tell you goodbye and I'll tell you so long in a knock-knock joke and a Gil Junko song. I wish you good luck in all the places you go, and may all your dreams start in a four-track studio.
Black Books, a.k.a. Mark Lindquist, live from Studio A. And that's the tune that kicks off your EP, and it's named after, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about writing that one. There's a lot of autobiographical stuff in there, I think.
You just answered your own question.
Just what you were just thinking about some stuff, and, you know, how does that turn into a song? Like, how does...
I think I had this as something I wanted to sing over. I forget who I was listening to. I was probably listening to some Ed Hamill, and he has a lot of songs where he plays really fast, and then when he sings, he just kind of keeps that part simple. So I was probably trying to rip that off. And then the lyrics, I don't write a lot of autobiographical stuff. I like to write about other people and other places, and like in the song, I like to write about pirates and crooks and people much more interesting than myself. But that one just kind of snuck in there. So, and I don't know why the title's called The Don'ts, to be honest with you. I'm sure at the time I thought it was brilliant. But then it just kind of stuck, and I like the way it rolled off the tongue.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. I like it.
Yeah, so the do's.
A little bit different.
The do's would be to make a, I don't know, a professional sounding CD. And then you have the don'ts.
And you did all the don'ts. You did all the don'ts. Ah, I like that.
I still record on a 4-track cassette player. And mm-hmm. I tell that to people at the music store, and they look at me like I'm just, I don't know.
You've traveled here in a time machine.
Insane's the wrong word, because that would be interesting. They looked at me like, why? Why would you do that? Seems like work.
Yeah. So you've been putting out a Christmas song every year for the last few years, which I find delightful. I
you're the only person I send them to.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate
it. You can put out the whole album after 12 years. You'll have 12 songs.
Is this something that started up after you had kids, or was it something you were doing before then?
Yeah, it was about that time. Mm-hmm. Before my kids were born, I was collecting a lot of children's records.
Mm, okay.
And kind of some Roger Miller stuff snuck in there. And, you know, it shouldn't even be called kids' music, because kids have good taste. I mean, my kids listen to adult bands, I guess. They don't listen to what's a kid's band? Okie Dokie Boys or something like that. They don't yeah. listen to that.
And Barney.
They listen to much more interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like that about some of Roger Miller's older songs. They're, you know, childish, but definitely not kids' music. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's kind of what kicked off some of the Christmas songs. I like Christmas time, and I wanted to take, you know, some of those ideas and put him, I guess, into my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich Mattson, who I play with tomorrow night, he always taught me, all you need for a Christmas song, really, are the bells in the back. If you just have someone jingling the bells in the back, mm-hmm. you could be singing about walking your dog, and it's a Christmas song.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And let's see, I'm trying to think of the one. So this year, you put out Barstool Christmas, and there's a video to go along with that.
Yeah, some friends of mine on the Iron Range, the Iron Range Outlaw Brigade. I don't know if you've ever had in the studio. I see
the studio's
still in
so.
One piece, so you probably haven't had them in. But they're pretty wild, but, you know, really good creative artists on a musical level. And then they make a lot of videos too, and they express some interest in helping make a video. And the timing and the song kind of seem perfect. And I don't know how they make these little videos. He tells me he records them on his phone and puts them together, but it can't be, because there's definitely some video editing that goes on there, some movie magic. I don't know how he does it.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a video for it. You can see it on if you look up Little Black Books Barstool Christmas on YouTube. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars some people, that local musicians and artists, artisans, is that the right word?
Sure.
If they also serve coffee during the day.
Sure, something okay. like that. Cool. Yeah, well, that was kind of fun. I always look forward to getting that Christmas song every year, Mark.
All right. Someone's looking at it.
You know, it's just different. It's fun to have, you know, because there, of course, are all the same traditional ones, and sometimes people will do albums and it's all covers of...
You know what? I don't want to change the subject. Let me ask something.
Go for it.
Remember when Shaky Ray Records used to have Bad Sweater Parties?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was before any I had ever heard mm-hmm. of Ugly Sweater Parties.
Mm-hmm. You are a pioneer.
What do you think about that? That I was years before Walmart started selling ugly sweaters.
Mm-hmm. I think you're a pioneer. I think you're onto something
have
there,
the first
Mark.
One. Could I?
I don't know. Where'd you get the idea? Just some,
I didn't.
Like,
I
fun
just
thing to
I
do?
Came up with. I think I looked at mm-hmm. Chad Lyon's outfit one day and said, "I'm gonna have a party inspired by that jacket."
Ooh, way to get a burn in there. Yeah, way to get
a burn
in
owe
there.
I owe him.
All right. Well, what do you want to finish up here? I do want to ask you a little bit more though. So you said that you are going to, you're planning on getting together a band, or you're going to do stuff for upcoming festivals with your Little Black Books band from the past. So who are you getting involved in?
Jim Hagstrom plays drums and runs Dog Talk Studio. He's the only one that's agreed so far.
Okay.
But I think Bob Olson is another one, and we'll see. There's been a lot of members
mm-hmm.
and all very talented, people I enjoy playing music and spending time with, so we'll see. I don't have it all put together yet, but
and
I
when
have
you
time.
Say festival season, you're talking homegrown.
Homegrown
I assume,
usually starts in May, and then, you know, there's a festival for everything starting from about May until August. Mm-hmm. So I might jump on that train.
Is there anything out in the place where you live, in the Brainerd area?
There is, but I don't think they'll be asking the little black books to be playing it.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of your musical home.
The resort crowd mm-hmm. is a little different. I mean, it's I think they're passionate about music, but maybe not as much about as original music or local artists. And, you know, they're on vacation. They don't want to have 3-hour art school conversations. So, and I've never played in that area. For all the gigs I ever play, I'm scared to death to play in my new hometown, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to play in front of hipsters that are ignoring you than it is to play into the resort crowd that's trying to pay attention or mm-hmm. wanting to like you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Complicated.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to finish up with here?
I'll play Barstool Christmas. Or I can play Rudolph. Either one. Why don't you call Rudolph. The Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, I would prefer your original.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can do both if you'd like, but I want to hear.
On December 25th, I heard the bar unlocked at 2-ish. I was 23, just moved to town. I was enjoying the perks of the new kid. The jukebox played "The War Is Over" and the whole place smelled like hot dish. Happy under that neon sign, that warm bar stool for Christmas. My lowball blinked and clinked, I played a little high-stakes cribbage. Had a pocket full of gift card money from my grandma down in Texas. One more went into last call and the hours unwrapped like minutes. Maybe the best holiday I ever had was that warm bar stool on Christmas. A dog and a big yard work to-do list. Meetings, bills, and in-laws obsessed with something called an ice fish. This television capitalism is making me yuletide reminisce for that solitary warm bar stool I held one Merry Christmas. On December 25th, I heard the bar unlocked at 2-ish. I was 23, just moved to town, enjoying the perks of the new kid. The jukebox played "The War Is Over" and the whole place smelled like hot dish. So happy under that neon sign, that warm bar stool for Christmas. Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. That is Little Black Books, Mark Lindquist, live from Studio A. And you're going to be playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth starting at 8, along with Jerry Small and Blake Thomas. And then tomorrow night at the 218 Tap House in Virginia. Rumor has it that Rich Mattson and the North Stars are going to be playing as well.
Just Rich Mattson.
Oh, just Rich
if
Mattson.
The North Stars show up, even better.
Okay.
But I think we're both just playing acoustic sets.
All right. And, yeah. Well, thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me.
For coming in. Always great. Always great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.